taking a look back through particularly the data out of the US over the course of this past week, we've got one or two data points now which are just starting to show some signs of coming back from that strong rebound that we saw, but by no means all of them. And so the ones which are still rising strongly, you know, over this past week, we had the regional manufacturing surveys relating to New York State and also the Philadelphia Fed survey. And these have bounced again. These are September readings too. Really interesting because the Empire State one, which going back to August was at plus 3.7. The market thought it might manage to lift to plus 5.9, around that sort of level. It went to plus 17. And the Philadelphia Fed survey, which was at plus 17.2, there's a fear that might come back quite a way. It hasn't come back very far. It's still at plus 15. And the other September reading that came out, National Association of Home Builders Index, and yeah, because of the strength, not so much in the most recent monthly reading, the readings before, home builders in the US are just going gangbusters. And the National Association of Home Builders Index was already at a very, very high level going back to August 78. Yeah, anything in the 70s is very, very rare. They thought it'd stay at 78. It went up to 83. Never seen an 83 or anything in the 80s before. This is a record high for the National Association of Home Builders Index. So the combination of very low mortgage rates has put a real tailwind now behind U.S. housing activity. Having said that, the most recent monthly readings for August for housing starts and housing permits had a little bit of a setback. But you've got to put this into context. You know, the previous 3 months, these were rising at near 20% month on month over each of the 3 months. So unsurprisingly, housing starts for August have actually given back just a little bit of that strength, down by 5.1%. Housing permits, barely any give back at all, down 0.9%. So in the context of things, that's probably not unduly weak. We also had retail sales data out of the United States. And just seeing they're still strong on a month-on-month on normal context, but not as phenomenally strong as they were going back a short while back. So for the month of August, retail sales were up 0.6% month-on-month after a slight downward revision to the previous month to 0.9%. And core retail sales were up 0.7% after being up 1.3%. Still reasonable. So still reasonable strength running through those. The U.S. presidential election campaign is running into full steam now. At the moment, in the polls, Biden is well ahead. But as we know, polls in the United States can be quite misleading. And so waiting to see how things progress over the course of the next few months. But the sorts of things that come out in presidential election campaigns are probably going to make things pretty bumpy in terms of financial markets for a period there. The underlying strength in the economy is still there. And you know, the other interesting part we had last week was the FOMC meeting. So the FOMC meeting, no change in the Fed funds rate, which is set in that target range of between 0 and 0.25%. But we did have the forecasts from the Fed going out. The forecasts from the Fed are still quite cautious, but with a little bit of a lift running through economic activity as you go further out. But that's not reflected in their rate expectations. The rate expectations at that Fed meeting were leaving the Fed funds rate unchanged now, all the way through to the end of 2023. So for the first time, you know, we've got interest rate forecasts from the Fed, which are saying we're not touching this thing all the way out for the next 3 years. So says that they still see some risks in economic activity ahead, but gives some certainty to this very, very low interest rate regime we've got at the moment. This week in the US, so we haven't got a great deal of data coming through, but ones that are worth watching, September, these are not the ISM surveys, but the manufacturing PMIs and services PMIs. These were getting towards mid-50s, going back to the month before. The manufacturing PMI was at 53.1, and the services PMI was at 55. They're going to hold, the market thinks, around those sorts of levels. So 53.2 from 53.1 for the manufacturing PMI, they think, when this comes out on Wednesday evening. And the services sector PMI, just a touch under 55 at 54.7. We also have some more housing data. We get the August existing home sales data on Tuesday evening, and the new home sales data comes out later in the week on Thursday evening. Both of those still sort of holding the peaks that they've been near. So, for example, existing home sales going back to July had an incredible month-on-month rise of 24.7% month-on-month. They're expected to have another rise on top of that of 2.4%. But you know, these are very, very headily high numbers and give us a lot of comfort that if you've got a leading indicator like housing, which is just going as strongly as it is in the US, you've got quite a recovery starting to build up ahead of steam, providing the income support is still there as we go further forward. And it's a similar story for new home sales. Going back the month before, they lifted by 13.9% month on month. They're expected to give back perhaps 0.1% of that. So again, very, very strong readings relatively for these housing indicators. On the very end of the month, we get durable goods orders. So this is looking at sort of businesses spending on investment goods. And these are been strong and expected to hold up. So August durable goods orders were up 11.4% going back to the month of July. They're expected to add another 1.5% on top of that. And core durable goods orders were up 2.6%. They're expected to add another 1.3%. So looking reasonably good as far as those numbers are concerned. So regardless of the volatility that's running through the US and regardless of horrific numbers in terms of coronavirus, the deaths in the US have just gone through the 200,000 mark, just staggering. On some estimates, by next January, they're expected to lift around about 410,000. You have to go back to some pretty big wars to find that number of casualties. On that side, things are still looking pretty awful, but they're keeping much of their economy open, and with the policy stimulus that's coming through, getting a very strong lift out of that. Moving to China, and last week we had a few data points out of China, and they are looking a little bit better. China is one of the only major economies which picked up in Q2. But there was some suspicion that it was starting to cap out a bit and some of these numbers were starting to fade. They're actually turning out a little bit better than expected for the month of August. So fixed asset investment spending, this is infrastructure spend. It was down 1.6% year-on-year going back to July. Was expected still to be down about 0.4%. It was down 0.3%, so slightly better than expected. Industrial production has lifted further to 5.6% year-on-year from 4.8% going back the month before. That was a surprise. There's a lot of strength running through Chinese industrial activity at the moment. And the other surprise was finally retail sales. Their domestic spending is finally starting to move, but not unduly strongly. So going back the month before, it was down 1.1% month on month. There was some hope it might lift just above the zero mark to plus 0.1%. It's up plus 0.5%. So finally, back into positive territory for that key item which China's going to need run to sustain recovery there. Nothing of note this week coming out of China. Then we go to Australia, and one huge surprise last week was what happened with the labour force report. And this is notwithstanding the fact that you had the whole of Victoria in both when these figures were taken, which was in stage 3 lockdown for regional and stage 4 in Melbourne. We saw in the figures that Victoria lost over 40,000 jobs in the month and the unemployment rate actually went up 0.4 of a percentage point in Victoria. But it was a different story everywhere else around around Australia, and it more than compensated. And so one of the biggest misses by economic forecasters in at least 30 years, where August employment was expected to fall by 50,000, it rose by 111,000. Massive difference compared with expectations. And the unemployment rate, where most people thought that we would get some lift in the unemployment rate, it was expected to lift to about 7.7% from 7.5%. The major banks, almost all of them had forecasts in the eights. It came down to 6.8%. So from 7.5% down to 6.8%, a 0.7 percentage point fall in the unemployment rate in 1 month. We haven't seen either a fall of that size in the unemployment rate in 30 years. Also, we've never seen a miss compared with consensus forecasts, anything like that size. Given that RBA and Treasury forecasts are fairly much in the same ballpark as market forecasters too, this is very different from what we've been expecting. The interesting part was in that employment rise, full-time jobs were up 36,200. As other states have opened up, very, very big lifts very quickly in employment. And it's probably due to the size of the policy response we've had here, particularly the income support programs. And from what we're hearing, the budget that's going to come out, which has already obviously been largely set, and comes out on the 6th of October here, is going to be a huge spending budget. The government is not denying some of the forecasts that we're going to be seeing a $200 billion budget deficit next year, with some very big pull forwards of some of the infrastructure spending projects around Australia, pull forwards of some tax cuts. Now, this budget, it takes a long time to put a budget into effect, is predicated on fairly much disastrous economic numbers for Australia and some continuation of that. And what we're seeing from the economic numbers so far is that things are actually bouncing a lot quicker than expected. So something we might need to start to think about penciling in is the possibility that things do start to run a lot quicker around Australia as we go ahead. And adding to that, of course, the COVID-19 figures out of Victoria now are very encouraging. And so there's a good chance that Victoria will be joining the rest of Australia pretty shortly in terms of relaxing restrictions, and that you get the benefit coming through from that as well. So just watching all of this, it's very, very interesting the way this is developing. Some of the areas which are holding up particularly well in Australia too, we had earlier on sort of July readings for retail sales and housing. Housing around much of Australia is actually holding up very, very well indeed, surprisingly. And retail sales have been pretty strong too. This week, we'll just see if these surprises continue for August for some other numbers. We've got preliminary readings of retail sales coming out on Wednesday. We get both a preliminary and a final reading of retail sales these days. Last month, they lifted by 3.2%. Retail sales are a record high. They're up over 12% year on year. Now, it'd be interesting with Victoria and the issues there to see how much of a pullback we get. There's not a consensus forecast on this, but some of the banks have been putting out numbers in the -3% to -4% month-on-month territory. So that's probably as good a consensus as we'll get for this number. Be interesting to see how things come out relative to that. And on Friday, we get preliminary international trade numbers coming out. We still had quite a big trade surplus going back the previous month, that $4.9 billion trade surplus. So just waiting to see that number. We also get a speech from Guy Debelle, Deputy Governor of the Reserve Bank, this week. And he's talking about the economy and what that means for monetary policy. So that one will be an interesting speech when it comes through, just to see what the Reserve Bank's thinking there. In Europe last week, probably one of the more interesting things in Europe last week was the Bank of England meeting. They left monetary policy unchanged, they are looking at some aspects of sort of negative interest rates and sort of how that might work. Obviously their economy is very, very weak going forward. Another central bank that said something similar, the RBNZ had its meeting last week, and in our part of the world, they've actually sort of contacted the banks to try and assess how negative interest rates might work. So it's interesting that across the Tasman, we might see move towards negative short-term interest rates. What predicated that was they had their second quarter GDP numbers came out, and they were total shockers. They were down over 11% quarter on quarter, they've obviously had a much deeper recession going back to Q2 than we had with our -7%. And so, that's probably been one of the triggers for what happened over there. Of course, the way our numbers are going here mean that we like to be an odd man out, because there really is not that much pressure at the moment for the Reserve Bank here to be considering anything like negative interest rates for the time being, although they will still maintain very, very easy monetary conditions. Just some of the other data that came out of Europe last week too, going to the EU part of it, we had industrial production numbers better than expected, up 4.1% month of July, after being up 9.1% the month before. So, they're starting to bounce off the bottom as far as continental Europe's concerned. The ZEW economic sentiment survey was strong, went up to 73.9 from 64. They had a huge trade surplus for the most recent month. It was expected to decline. Going back to the month of June, they had one of their biggest trade surpluses on record for the European Union, 21.2 billion euro surplus. They thought that would fall in half to about 12 billion euro. It went the opposite way and has lifted to a new record of 27.9 billion euro. So the trade part of is still working pretty well for Europe in terms of supporting economic activity. This week in Europe, watching really for the September manufacturing and services sector PMIs, just to see if they're capping out. We're getting a bit soggy going back. We've managed to get above 50, but not getting much higher. Now 51.7 for the manufacturing PMI, 50.5 for the services sector PMI. And the market expectation is very little difference from those numbers for the month of September. So it'd just be interesting to see whether there's much difference there. Of course, there are some factors which are working against in Europe now. And COVID-19. Is obviously progressing very differently there from our part of the world, where we're getting on top of this thing. But in Europe, it's potentially even worse than the US. And France had one of its worst days on record with 13,000 new cases the other day. And in the case of Britain, the number of new COVID-19 cases is lifting very sharply. And to the point where they've had regional restrictions which have been imposed, but last week Boris Johnson was forced to make another change, and that is no more than six people congregating in groups. This goes totally against previous indications from the government there that they wanted people to go out and spend like fury, including giving a subsidy to go to the pub and to restaurants. Well, that's been turned on its head by the way in which COVID-19 is starting to pick up again as far as the UK is concerned. So it is an interesting and mixed bag as we look around the world. I think it does speak of some volatility in terms of markets, not least from the presidential election campaign that's happening in the United States and some things that can come out of that. We still have some economic numbers, which if you abstract it from what's happening with COVID-19, which are doing pretty well. And we've joined that with a vengeance with some of these numbers that we're looking at in Australia, where These are genuinely surprisingly strong numbers for the time being, but we'll wait and see what the numbers show as we go through for these August ones for retail sales and international trade later this week.